Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Wafunzi?
Nda.
Hey, what do you mean,
Tiko amba, du.
Da.
One.
Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We're continuing to talk about baptism. In the Bible, in fact, we find John the Baptist preaching and baptizing believers. And Luke 3 tells the story of John's preparing the way for the coming Lord. Now, today we want to discuss the practice of baptism and how it originates. So, Pastor, where is this? And I think we did touch on this a bit, and I'd like us to actually just expand on it. The practice of baptism. What are its origins?
Its origins would seem to be including the Jewish practices of rituals as directed by Moses.
Okay.
So we would have... And I'm making this reference only to say a similar ritual.
I see.
So it will be done when somebody has been out there, and according to the laws of Moses, they would come back defiled. Let's say they touched a dead body, a corpse, or a carcass of an animal. So they'll come and have that ritual bath. So they will deep immerse themselves in water and come out so that they are ritually clean. Then indications are that in the intertestamental period, which some people believe is about 500 years.
Okay.
This became a more regularly practiced rite, which would also mark the when non-Jewish communities would believe in the God of the Jews. And so in this sense, it would be referred to as an initiation into a new faith. However, when we now remember Luke and Hela, they would talk about the John's baptism, that by the time they write, it was a fact. By the time they saw him, he was already a practicing Baptist. So like we said yesterday, there's no indication that there was any consternation towards what John was doing.
Yeah.
People came witness and they were baptized.
Okay.
Indicating that he may not have been the first person to do baptism as we now know it. So then you have, whilst Matthew is still talking about John baptizing, and you made reference to another gospel, Jesus comes in Matthew 3, and he comes to be baptized by John. And John says to Jesus, "No, you can't be baptized by me." And Jesus' response is that, "No, we got to do this, John. We got to do this to fulfill righteousness." So for me, the significance of that is that Jesus himself recognized that rite, R-I-T-E.
Okay.
The act of baptism. And he did not only endorse it by word, he actually required that John baptizes him too. And Jesus got baptized.
Oh, so what was his? What was the actual reason of his baptism then?
The baptism of
Jesus.
Jesus. He states the reason himself. He says, "Let us do this to fulfill righteousness." Now, what does that mean, to fulfill righteousness? In its simplistic sense, righteousness will be the quality of doing right.
Okay.
The quality of compliance, the quality of being in harmony, as in life and practice, with the right things. And for us, God has revealed his will, or what right is, what it looks like, amongst others, in the Ten Commandments.
Quite interesting. Jesus, yes.
I understand Jesus to be saying, this is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And let us fulfill whatever we know to be righteousness.
So, because, you know, when we read Matthew 18, I think you touched on this yesterday. Not, is it Matthew 18? Yeah, we're entrusted, instructed to go teach and baptize. So it seems as though that the result of accepting this teaching would then lead to baptism, as it were. Is it then a requirement? Because according to the reasons that Christ mentions, as you stated, it's not as a result of any accepting any teaching.
On Christ's side?
Yes.
When he gives the Great Commission in Matthew 18.
Yeah, he gives the Great Commission in Matthew 18 to say, go baptize, go teach, and then baptize. But then when he himself is, baptized, he is not getting baptized because he is accepting anything.
Got you.
Yeah.
Got you. Hence, he's simply saying it's the right thing to do.
Mm.
Perhaps setting an example for all those who will be his followers. I would imagine that his disciples would either have been baptized earlier or later during his ministry with them. Now, Jesus came to take our place where we were supposed to die eternal death because of sin. Romans 6, verse 23 and 3, verse 23, they speak about how the wages of sin is death, and how the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus.
Mm.
So Jesus came to us as a gift of life, and he died so that we may live, with reference to eternal death and eternal life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he was showing us how we are going to need to do it. But when you read Romans chapter 6, now when Jesus has long been baptized, in fact, he has gone back to glory.
Mm-hmm.
Romans tells us about the connection between the death of Christ and our baptism.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it seems to say that when I take it, for instance, in conjunction the baptism of John, which was about the repent and be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Acts, when it's asked, what should we do to repent and be baptized? And you'll receive the forgiveness of your sins as well. And the Matthew 18 seems to be speaking to us about preaching the gospel, and those that accept it should be baptized, and we need to continue to disciple them by continuing to teach them what the Lord has revealed to us. So he had no sin, but he showed us how we as sinners supposed to do it.
I see. So what would you say then is the significance of baptism by immersion?
Romans 6 again, which confirms what happens in Matthew 3 when Jesus is baptized.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture says when John had Jesus had persuaded John to baptize him, he then baptized him via immersion, and it's well described there. What does it stand for? Romans 6 says it symbolizes how we die to sin.
Mm-hmm.
and resurrect to righteousness. It's a symbolic sense.
I see. So it's basically one saying, I'm dying to old self and arising into the newness of self, of a new self.
As we are renewed in Christ Jesus. Yes.
Now, is there any situation where a church, can refuse to baptize someone who wishes to be baptized?
I think I've seen that happen in some church space somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
If you look, once the church or a group of people formally organize themselves into an entity, then you're going to have a situation where they need to have governance systems to manage the group.
Yeah.
Right. So it is in that organization of the group in a formal way, which requires policies and other things. Sometimes people, in those policies, there may be conditions that people may need to meet before they are baptized. And if the leadership of that congregation looks and sees this is what they know, say about this person, that there's no sign of repentance, just as an example. The church, I've seen churches decline baptizing such individuals.
Ooh.
What I've seen others do, now this will be the case where baptism is a prerequisite to membership in that organization, a church organization.
Okay.
So I've seen other churches and congregations make some adjustment to that one. So if somebody requires to be baptized, they say, because of your belief in Christ Jesus and you are expressing a desire to be baptized, which will be in harmony with his command in Matthew 18. So we can't stop baptizing you, but we will baptize you, but that will not entitle you to a membership with us.
Wow, interesting. Well, Pastor, I think we can park it there for today, and we're going to be definitely following up tomorrow on this particular conversation. But I want to thank you so much for coming through today. Blessings to you.
Blessings to you and your listeners.
Thank you so much.
Sure, keep well.
Sure. Well, there you have it. That there was Pastor Jay Mongwe, who was joining us talking about baptism and the origins in the main of baptism.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.